done some digging too, Adam White, on your My Cricket profile.
No,
I've got some concerns.
I've got some issues with My Cricket. My Cricket doesn't go the whole way back.
It absolutely doesn't. It's got your Ivanhoe days, it's got your Crusader days, it's got the Warrandyte days. Did you know, just by the way, that last game, round two this year, was your 200th game?
See, that's incorrect.
No, it is.
I've played far more than 200 games.
No. According to the stats, you haven't played.
I've been playing that long. It goes back before My Cricket days.
I'm not sure about that. I'm disappointed in your finals record. That's all I'll say. Callum Ferguson is a legend of Australian cricket. We love him on The Breakfast Club. Always great with his time and great insight and analysis. His My Cricket page is through the roof, if you don't mind. He joins us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Kel.
Halfy, Whitey, thanks for having me again. You're under the pump there, Whitey.
Yeah, well, see, you don't go through these things because your stats are all accurate. But when the My Cricket stats are not accurate and they go against what they should be, I get very angry about it.
They're accurate.
No, they're not.
They are, my word. I'm concerned that you've only made 30 runs this year, by the way.
A little bit short, Whitey, I'll give you that. They do stop a little bit short.
There you go. See, you've had that issue as well, have you?
Oh, no, he's on Crick Info. Like, he's at a serious
right.
level.
We're going to go to My Cricket, and Callum goes to Crick Info.
I'm just concerned about his finals record, Cal. We'll talk about it another day.
You don't want that question, do you?
No, it's not good. It's my skeleton in the closet.
That's funny. That is excellent. Your response is even better. Hey, Cal, how have you seen the one-day series so far? Obviously, it's been a run fest, and I'll get to what Ian Chappell said shortly, but the run fest between both teams at 1,400 runs in the last two games, it's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, it has been. And look, if you look at the two sides, the big difference has been the ability to take wickets early in the innings or even in the first half of the innings. The Indians are running at about four wickets in the first 80 overs of the innings so far. It's not been a good time of it for their bowlers. I know Virat Kohli's come under some heat back home in India, perhaps for not using his strike bowlers enough in the early stages of the games. It's been very lopsided. The Australians have been absolutely brilliant. I mean, just getting to watch the openers from the Australian team go about their business and set up these big totals has been really impressive. Aaron Finch and David Warner have been so good for so long. I think it's inevitable that they'll end up being our best ever opening partnership in one-day cricket, and they're not far off it already, but they've got years ahead of them, the two of them. So it's inevitable, and I think it's just been an absolute pleasure to watch them go about it in this series so far and just let the fireworks come in behind them. It's been incredible, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely has been. And we've been talking, Callum, over the last couple of days about the Indian bowling attack. Now, it's been sort of much feared in the last two or three years. How much do we read into these last two matches because of the conditions, the preparation, etc., and how much of it should India be a little bit worried about the ease of which they've played, particularly Bumrah?
Yeah, look, it's the wicket at the SCG has been fantastic for batting, and what I have noticed is it's probably been as consistent with regards to bounce as I've seen for a long, long time. Usually, there's a little bit of unevenness, and when I say that, it's not a huge amount, but you know, when the bowlers really bend their back, they might get a tiny bit of variable bounce, especially with the new ball, which can cause a few problems for the batters. This wicket, or both wickets, have been fast, bouncy, especially with the new ball, and there hasn't been any sideways movement at all. And I think what you'll see is that once the new balls come off, the shines come off the ball, that extra pace that Bumrah in particular can create in that bounce just hasn't been there for him. And I think that's where some of the fans over in India have been a bit disgruntled. Is, you know, he only bowled two overs with the new ball the other night. And it's been quite an amazing reaction back over there. They're calling for change of leadership. That's how far it's gotten. And, that's certainly, we're not that quick to judge on, you know, one or two captaincy decisions, but certainly over there they can really get quite narky quite quickly. So, look, it's been an absolute domination from the Australian batting, and what we understand is that most sides are significantly better in their own home conditions. Australia's very good over here. India usually quite good over here, but haven't been able to get into the game because the Australian batsmen, once we've won the toss and batted, just have not let them in. And that's a sign of a very mature and very, very, very strong Australian team. And I think we're going to be hard to beat against anyone in the world going forward, especially in our conditions, because this side is really getting close to its pomp, I think.
Callum, take us through the difference for a batsman playing a red ball versus a white ball. And, you know, you're the perfect person to talk to because of your experience. It seems that the runs, the ball seems to be harder. It seems to come off the bat quicker. It's not seeming to move as much as perhaps it used to. Tell us the difference, particularly when you're facing the absolute best in the world.
Yeah, it is a major difference. What we do see in the red ball contest is the ball pretty consistently in the first probably 20 overs move around a bit. And it may not be extravagant, but at least there's, you know, you've got the slips in place because the odd one is doing something off the wicket or in the air. In these two games, there's been zero movement through the air and there's been even less off the wicket because the wicket's just been so good. It makes a huge difference because when you're not having to worry about a ball nipping back in at your stumps or leaving you off the wicket, it allows you to start freeing up with regards to potentially just getting your front leg out the way a little bit more and almost not premeditating entirely, but just getting yourself into positions to access certain areas of the ground. And what we've seen in the last two games, there's been a lot more movement around the crease from the batsmen earlier in the inning than what you might normally see when there's somewhat movement in the air or off the wicket. And because the batsmen are so confident in the ball coming on straight, coming on truly off this fantastic surface at the SCG, they're not afraid to move outside leg stump a little bit, move across their stumps, because they know they're just not going to miss the ball. Whereas when there's a bit of movement in red ball cricket consistently, you know, there's more grass on the wickets. You can't afford to do that, because if you move back towards leg stump a little bit further and look to line up a length ball and hit it through the offside, and it does even a small amount, your stumps are under threat, the inside edge of your bat, maybe a little inside edge onto the stumps or a nick because your eyes are away from the line of the ball. It's just such a significant difference, and the confidence levels in being able to move around the crease then start to diminish because you're not 100% sure if it'll nip back at you or nip away from you towards the slip. So it makes a stark difference. And I think we sometimes talk about how batsmen have really improved in certain areas of their game compared to red ball cricket. You know, we'll see them play in test cricket and find a few issues around their defence. When they come back into the one day side and start playing really solid and looking like everything's hitting the middle of the bat, and we say, oh yeah, their defence has improved. Well, it's not until potentially we've seen it against the red ball that you really start going, okay, well, that improvement's there. Or we find, okay, maybe they haven't quite made that big step yet. And that's where sometimes the Indian players, with the bounce, can get found out. Sometimes we've seen our players get found out by the lateral movement over in England. But it is a big difference between playing against the red ball and the white ball, because the wickets are so significantly different. It's not necessarily that it's just the new white ball compared to the new red ball. It's quite often just the wickets that make the difference.
Great insights.
Yeah, that is a terrific insight. Speaking of the batsmen and their skills and abilities to do things, Ian Chappell has called for switch hitting to be illegal. We've seen Glenn Maxwell and David Warner's done it through the journey as well. I'm not sure how proficient you were at the switch hitting, but should it be a legal part of the game? Considering bowlers can't change the way they bowl or bowl from around the wicket when they say they're bowling over the wicket?
Look, it's a really good discussion, and I quite enjoy. I was in the commentary box with Chappelli that night, and he was talking about it quite significantly. And it's hard to argue with his points, because the bowler is told he has to notify the bowler at the umpire. Sorry, right arm over. Or right arm around, left arm over, left arm around. But the batsman doesn't have to say anything. So
yeah.
What they have done in the the last sort of 5-6 years has said to the batsman, okay, if you decide to switch it and the ball fires down leg side, we're not going to pay the wide. And they try from that point of view, they've tried to level it up a little bit. But if you look at it, it's not affecting the batsman. They don't mind. You know, if one ball goes for a dot ball down the leg side, it doesn't matter. Look, I love the skill side of things. And personally, I'd leave it as it is. Cipolli makes a good argument, and it's going to, you know, if you sit down face to face with Cipolli, he's going to fight tooth and nail for his argument, and he's got a good one. But I think the skill aspect and what it brings to the game is it outweighs perhaps maybe the idea that the bowler's at a disadvantage, mainly because the skill is so difficult, and you do see a lot of guys get out to it. So it does at times bring the bowlers into play. But when the wicket's as good as it was the other night, in the last two nights, it's I think it's just difficult full stop for the bowlers. It doesn't matter whether they're switch hitting or just standing up standard and trying to hit you over the leg side without the switch hit.
It is I reckon it's a good conversation. I reckon, unfair advantage to the batters, but that's the way the game seemingly wants. They want batters making runs, which we've seen plenty throughout this series so far. Before I let you go, does Will Pekoski open?
Will Pekoski open? I think he will. I think he gets the game. Obviously, we're waiting on Davey Warner a little bit, but obviously, if it is between Burns and Pekoski, I think I'd like to see Pekoski get that opportunity. I don't personally think the selectors will go that way, though. From everything that I've heard in the media recently, with JL coming out and supporting Burnsy along with Davey Warner, I find it hard to believe they will go down that path. But I'd love to see Will Pekoski get an opportunity at the top of the list. And it may come at the on the back of the loss of Davey Warner. He looks pretty sore. I'm not sure if you guys saw him coming off the ground the other night, but wow, I mean, he looked like he was in a fair bit of pain. And I'm not sure whether you guys have hurt your groin in the past, but it can be quite a significant injury. And yeah, he looked really sore. So if the injury does keep Davey out, Koski just plays, he opens. But if he's okay, I think they'll pick Joe Burns. But I would go with Will Pekoski because, you know, having seen him up close in that first Victorian Shield game for the year, he just looked in such fine form and just looked so accomplished and steady at the crease. I liked some of the words from Greg Chappell over the last few weeks. You know, if you get an opportunity to give a talent like this a chance at international cricket, you get them in there and you give them every opportunity because, you know, whilst we all understand that players will at times be dropped, you know, the best have been dropped. You know, Ricky Ponting, Steve Waugh, they were left out at an early age, but they were given that opportunity to go back and improve their games and then make their way back in because they had so much time because they got the opportunity at a young age. Now, we'd love to see Will Pekoski come into the side and have a 15-year career without being left out at any stage, but by getting the player in early, you give them an opportunity to start learning at the international level much earlier and give them every opportunity to learn and become that 120, 150 test match player that we all crave. We love seeing it, and we've got a number in the test team at the moment that are heading that way. If we can get him in early, it gives him every opportunity to be that 100, 150 test match player that we're looking for.
Let's get him in. Let's get him in. Ferg, great insight as always, mate. Always a pleasure to chat. We'll do it again soon. Thanks, pal.
Sounds great. Cheers, guys.
Good stuff. Callum Ferguson with us.